Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal, and greetings to our listeners, my brother. How are you?
Alaikum. Everything's very well, my brother. Alaikum salam. Welcome to another edition of our show, which has been airing now, Brother Aziz, and we are proud to say this is our eighth year
of broadcast,
and we have listeners from many, many different states. Tonight, we're going to open our mics up, and we're going to share in conversations with whoever calls in. And our topic this evening, Brother Aziz, justice for all.
Justice for all. Right.
And
justice,
you know, Brother, when it comes to freedom, we as African Americans can say yes. Here in the United States, we are free. We're free to do many things that may be sort of difficult in other areas, many other parts of the world to do. So, yes, we know what freedom is all about, but we've never known justice.
Right.
There's never been justice for African Americans since we've been here. So what is freedom without justice? And that's what we're going to...
It's an illusion.
Yes, and exactly so, because, but one thing about being unjust, and of course, because as far as I am concerned, the reason freedom without justice for anyone in this country, other than Caucasians, they're the only ones that justice applies to. Everyone else, there is no justice. And I mentioned the African Americans, but our Native Americans. And the evidence is all over the place. And we can just simply, I guess, end with wounded knee. But we know a wounded knee is one of the disasters that we can just see right off the top of the bat. But we know there was many disasters when it came to Americans.
Absolutely.
We're talking Native Americans and African Americans, but the Caucasian Americans. And those Caucasian Americans, it made no difference what part of Europe they were from, and it made any difference of what religious they may have been. So if they call themselves European Jews, or Caucasian Jews, or Caucasian Christians, in the United States, there's justice for all of them. But everyone else, like you said, there's freedom in this country, but there's no justice. And if anyone can recognize that from a bat of an eye, it is an African American, because he had to go through slavery. So it goes. Justice is a promotion compared to what our disasters were for hundreds of years. And then when there was freedom, and we got that in when as early as 1965, that came, of course, without justice. And so I bring this up, or we bring this up, because the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association stands with our brothers and then with the world, in fact, because the United Nations is also who has done their proper investigation, and their investigation didn't start with the event that just happened a couple of weeks ago. Their investigation went back for 56 years, ever since these Zionists went into Palestine and invaded that country, along with the support of England and the United States, who put it all together. So no wonder when it comes to anything happening to these white Jews, and these Caucasians who claim to be Jews, because, brother, as we all know, especially as Muslims, there are Jews all over the world.
Yeah.
There's Jews all over Palestine. There are Jews all everywhere you go, anywhere in the world, you're going to find the Jewish religion and the Jewish people. Matter of fact, when it comes to believers, it was the Hebrews that Almighty God favored, especially during the time of Prophet Musa. And so I'm bringing that up because when it comes to the United States looking into what went on and making their decisions before they sit there in all these great big aircraft carriers saying we're ready to kill alongside Israel, they never asked the Jewish world anything about their opinion or what went on or where is the justice. They only went to the Caucasians.
Yeah.
And these Caucasians came from Europe. And like you said, after World War II, the United States planted them in Palestine. We know there's been a purchase. And Brother Aziz, you have a better history on it than I do. And as soon as I finish my comments, I'm going to turn it over to you, open up the mics. But we know that the United States sent these Europeans over and bought a small purchase of land.
Yep.
But it was just enough to get a so they could invade.
Yeah.
And today there is no Palestine barely because the West Bank, that's where the, all those new settlements went in, and Israel has taken over all the lands of the Palestine peoples, especially in the West Bank. And they go in and treat those folks just like slaves. As a matter of fact, they tell them when they can and can't pray. And they were talking about the sacred shit there in Israel, there in Jerusalem, that these brothers and sisters go to pray. Israel will go in and while they're praying, beat the women, the men, just beat them up, attack them. They'll go into their homes in the West Bank. And now in the West Bank, you got more, that's where the, Israel is, it built those new settlements. And you got these, a lot of these are Americans who are tens of thousands of Americans have moved to Israel, and this is where they're living in the West Bank, where they can have the Palestinians to serve them because of the low income that these people are having. So it is not, it's nothing but just really a modern-day slavery.
Right. That's what it is.
Over there for a long, long time. And not that we're saying that there is justice in any type of a war, a conflict. Yes, peace is what we seek. But at the same time, as African Americans, as Palestinians, or anyone else who are being tormented, then you must fight. Because these white supremacists, if you don't fight back, you think the Ku Klux Klan is going to ease up on you? They're hoping you don't fight back, so they can easily hang you. So, but as a war veteran, and I know you probably feel the same way, Brother Aziz, as a war veteran who fought a very hard war in Vietnam.
Yeah.
To see our country. Country to be so biased without without any kind of investigation, but the rest of the world and one who's taking the lead is the United Nations. They're saying they don't see Hamas as any terrorist organization. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for Hamas fighting for their peoples, Israel would have made slaves out of them and taken everything they had. The little they do because they have Hamas, and before Hamas, remember, it was the PLO.
Right.
So
they think that those Palestinians are dirt, brother.
That's of course, but they're gonna learn that, and all white supremacists, they believe this that we all are we all will take it.
Yeah.
We all take it. And then when there is when the course is turned back on them, and the disaster hits them, and this is the first time Israel in 56 years of their dominating those peoples over there, the first time in 56 years that the tables was turned. And because of that, they want to destroy everything along with the help of the United States. I mean, it's a sad day. It's a sad day, but at the same time, and you know, we trust Biden. I voted for him.
Right, yes.
Even though I knew better because I'm from Delaware. And being from Delaware, born and raised, I left Delaware. After they drafted me and sent me to Vietnam, and damn, they tried to get me killed over their supremacy, I said I was never going back to my home state again. And I came from Sussex County, Delaware, the worst part. And I can tell you today, and Joe Biden has been the representative of Sussex County in Delaware for over 50 years. And I can tell you today, African Americans and Delaware don't have nothing going. No monies is spent on the black communities. There is nothing. Nothing at all, especially in Sussex County, Delaware. African Americans are dead last as for its citizenship. So, I thought after Biden served under the Obama's administration, he had changed. But, boy, he's showing his true colors, showing just that what he really, really is. And because no investigation was done as for it, let me see who is right and who is wrong. And, of course, the Biden administration and all of these folks here in the United States realize what's been going on with those Palestinians for, like you said, over 56 years. So, that's what we're opening our mics up to tonight is peace, but there's no justice. And what do you have when you have peace, but there's no justice? Brother Aziz.
Yes, Brother Bilal, thank you. And I'm in agreement with everything you said. I wanted to add to something you mentioned about Biden being there 50-some years. He's always been a Democrat. And for our listeners, the Democratic Party was the racist party back in the day.
Yes.
The Republican Party got hijacked by the racists, the ones that went over there and changed the Republican Party. But let's get it clear that the Democratic Party was the racist party, and Biden never left the party, along with some of the other racists that's in the Democratic Party, making it seem like that they're real good in that. They're the same Klansmen. They just changed outfits, that's all. They just changed color. But that's, I wanted to add that part in there about the Biden thing that, you know, he was with the racist party and never changed. He never flipped over and became a Republican. He stayed right there, and like he said to Netanyahu, I don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. He told him, I'm a Zionist, and not yet. Netanyahu told him, yeah, you're right, Biden. That's right. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist.
Yeah.
So they bought in on that. But what's going on with our brothers and sisters, Palestinian brothers and sisters? We're talking about Palestinian Jews, Palestinian Christians, Palestinian Muslims. For us, we care about all the people. Of course, the Muslims are our brothers and sisters right off the bat. So we care about all those God-fearing people, those Palestinian people. And that's what a lot of the Americans don't know, that the Palestinian people, they're Jews, Christians, Muslims. Those are the Palestinians. The other people are the Zionists. They believe in the Zionism. And that's something that's not a part of Judaism. It's not Judaism at all, Zionism. That's number one. So those, the people that are Hebrews over in this place called Israel, they're not a part of what's going on there. They're part of the people that's over there on that West Bank getting oppressed. Matter of fact, they had one lady come on. She says, I'm a Christian. I'm a Palestinian Christian. And they got to stop this. They're oppressing us. So it's the Palestinian people that Hamas is fighting for. The Palestinian people, that's all of them. It just so happened that in 1948 is when America, along with Senator Edwin Brooke and the British, they were able to purchase some land from the Palestinian government for the Europeans that wanted to find a place to stay, the Europeans, Jews. And they were able to purchase that land. The United States was able to get them, the Palestinians, to sell them that land. They didn't want to, but they did. And they said they would only allow so many immigrants to come in per year. Well, as that process took place, now this is a documentary I saw on PBS station, public broadcast station. And so it's available for anybody to see these histories that I'm relating to. And the good part about it is not only was it written, it's a video documentary where you can actually see this taking place. Well, anyway, it showed the Jews coming from Europe over there on the big ships to Palestine. And, you know, so many thousands were allowed to come. And I think it was set up where only 28,000 could come per year. And when that process took place, when they got the first group to come over there, Ben Gurion was the one that, you know, was one of the authors of that Zionism thing and going to Palestine. But Menachem Begin, Ariel Sharon, Yitzhak Rabin, these guys they became terrorists. They blew up. They was wanted by the NATO for blowing up the King David Hotel and killing a number of people that did that. These guys went from terrorists, wanted international terrorists, to respected diplomats. This is what white supremacy is about. They might have all their little tribal names. He's a Jew. He's an Englishman. He's a this and that. But white supremacy covers everybody that's not dark complected and have so-called straight hair. That's what white supremacy is. All those people that's like that. So when these Jews from Europe come over there where they had never been before, the European Jews didn't have nothing to do with Palestine. That was just designated for them because Jerusalem and the Jews that lived, the Hebrews that lived there, not Jews, the Hebrews that lived there. So what happens is, little by little, with these terrorist attacks, those Jews started taking over one Palestinian village after the next, wiping them out. This is history. There's books written on 952 Palestinian villages that were completely destroyed, and they don't exist no more. They're on the old maps, but if you look at the maps of today, none of that exists. Just like on the old map, you'll see a country called Palestine, but Palestine doesn't exist anymore. And how did that happen, that a country disappears, and inside of it, another country comes up? With this story that they have an inheritance to that land, and everybody knows that's a lie. But they let that lie fester and fester and fester and fester until they got a war drum beaten. Whereas, unfortunately, for some of Americans, some of our brothers and sisters, Christians and brothers and sisters, they believe that if they don't support the Jews on everything they do, that they won't get to heaven. Some believe that and some don't. But a great majority believe that, and that is why they get to support Israel that's been going on. But really, it's white supremacy. White supremacy, and that's what's holding us up from progressing here in America. And everywhere else, and in the countries that you would think, Africa, you would say, why is Africa, they got their own country, their own people, and all of that there. White supremacy is just not a color thing. It's a mentality. And there's a lot of African Americans that are white supremacists, too, because they have submitted to this type of mentality. And it's very harmful for us because looking at themselves not liking what they are, well, when they look at others like us, then that's their self-hate. That's destroying us, their self-hate. Everybody in the world knows our African brothers and sisters over in the continent of Africa. And everybody else knows around the world that the African-American people, may they be Muslim, Christian, or whatever type of so-called religion that they may, a way of life that they practice, they all know that the African-American people is a very special, because they have been oppressed in every way you can think of, every way. They have been oppressed starting out. It was the law of the land that an African American couldn't have certain things. They didn't have no rights. And then as this racism progressed and the Indians' land got taken more and more, they made a law where an African American, they couldn't own gold. So when the gold rush went out in California and all that, we had to make our monies. The ones of us that went out there and made money, they made their money in a servitude position, washing clothes, setting up bathhouses, cleaning, you know, cooking for the folks, and stuff that we mastered all of that. But, however, we still wasn't allowed to own any gold to go out and dig that, because that would have gave us an advantage. And white folks just did Caucasians, that white supremacists, they didn't want us to have anything where they will always be on top. And the way the scale has been set up over a period of time, mathematically, we could never catch up. We could never catch up. But what they didn't realize was, intellectually and mentally, they already, the original people that brought us here knew how intelligent we were. Because the people that were the slaves that were brought here, they wasn't brought from the Congo. They wasn't brought from Central Africa and these places. They were brought from the places where rice was grown, potatoes was grown, vegetables were grown. They were brought from the areas where there were very intellectual people along that west coast of Africa, where most of us come from, Nigeria, onward, Sierra Leone, Senegal, Gambia. So it was, so, and the people that financed all this are the same relatives of the one that set up the state of Israel. The people that financed slavery, the so-called Nation of Islam, Minister Farrakhan, he put out a book, The Jews' Association with Slavery, and they were upset because they had the documents of all of these companies that exist in New York City today that finance the slave trade, that finance it. But they go on crying about how they were oppressed over in Germany. We don't support what went on in Germany at all when they were oppressed in those. But Brother Bilal, you brought up something prior to one of our conversations about a lot of people don't know that a great majority of the Jews that were being persecuted were German Jews, born and raised in Germany. They had to get out of there because of their oppressive behavior. And what I mean by oppressive behavior, you borrow some money from me, and I charge you 25% interest on a dollar. So if I borrow a dollar from you, I'm really only borrowing 75 cents because you're taking a dollar that away. So that's the type of oppression we're talking about, financial oppression, wherein you could never get ahead. Matter of fact, they would make you poor. Well, that's what's happening with us again today. $1 billion our president is seeking for aid for Israel and Ukraine. And here in America, we can't get nothing. We can't get anything from our government to help these oppressed and depressed African-American communities. And what it's leading to is outsiders, again, the white supremacists, are coming into our neighborhoods, buying up the properties, and in a little while, African-Americans will not have any, there'll be no more African-American neighborhoods around the country unless it's in the deep south, wherein you just haven't got to us yet. But up this way, in the Washington metropolitan area, a lot of those places where African-Americans existed, it was called so-called bad parts of town, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., in Virginia, Alexandria, Falls Church, Virginia, Gum Springs, Virginia. People know what I'm talking about, just listening to, from this metro area. And you see where the African-Americans used to flourish their businesses. And it's like, what happened to them? So it's important that our people, we're trying our best to get to them on the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. We've been trying for 8 years. Brother Bilal started this program and asked me to join him after he had started this program. He started out by himself. And then he asked me to join him after he had started on the program. And I graciously accepted the invitation. And we've been working on this for 8 years trying our best to hope that our people can see the light and realize the importance of having businesses in our community, because it's just not us individually, it's our children, our youth, what they're looking forward to. A lot of times I think it's awesome, even though I wish it was us. We'll go into some of the stores in the communities all around the Washington metropolitan area, and you see Oreos and then Asians. The Asians be fighting over getting stores in our community, black communities. And on weekends, they'll have their youngins in there on the register while they're doing other things. They get the youngins used to running that cash register as well as confronting African-Americans and dealing with African-Americans and their behavior. You see, people don't really, you know, again, our community, people study us. They study us just like they study the ant or the bee or any of these other creatures that they see doing things that's applicable to putting up or making it a part of the way humans coexist or humans do things, the way we do things by studying different creatures. Well, everybody study us because they know that it was the ideas that we come up with that's made America what it is today. Thousands of ideas that it was attributed to us. Again, part of the oppressive white supremacist system was we couldn't own no patents. We couldn't own no patents or inventions. It was till after a certain period of time, then we were able to have a patent in our name or a copyright in our name. Beforehand, we come up with the idea of master or slave master. He'd take that and run with that. Going to get that patent in his name, and no, we wouldn't get no credit for that at all. But our people know who came up with these ideas. So there's just numerous ideas in medicine and finance and engineering, you know, automotive, you name it. We've contributed immensely to that. But we don't get credit for it, nor do it go back into our neighborhood, nor has it benefited our people. With all this intelligence we have that we offer for everybody else, it's seemingly like we could put it back into our community. We need the black businesses in our communities, the laundromats, you know, the cleaners, the lawyer's office, the doctor's offices. We need these brought back into the community. We need the services that everybody else have in their community, and have these and support these businesses with pride. With pride, now we had a lot of these businesses in our community when we were segregated, but once we became integrated, a lot of those businesses left because we were raring and tooting to get over there and spend our money with people who didn't really care about us whatsoever. So, this is what New Africa Black Belt Wall Street is about, trying to network African-American businesses with one another, as well as help them market their business out in the community to let other African-Americans know that they exist. Somewhat like HBCUs, you know, the historical black colleges and universities, they got a thing going on now where they've become popular. And the alumni especially try their best to support these schools. Some of them around us, like Howard University, we see in so-called old DC Teachers College. Some of the old, you know, they support these schools in that. And that's what we're talking about, similar supporting businesses in our community. We know we have insurance companies, and one of our last two programs we had on our show was talking about black financial institutions. I was saying banks, and we had someone come over and say, you know, credit unions are not banks, brother. They are different, and that was right. So I say we have we had a number of black finance. We had 23, I believe, black financial institutions wherein blacks owned over 51% of the stock of the banks. And these are things that we like to know, and they offer the same protections on your money. A credit union gives you the same $250,000 protection that a bank gives you, with the FDIC and the credit union is another one, and both of them are backed by the federal government. The one big difference between the two, and there is a big difference, they're not the same. The credit unions, being that they're are more community-oriented, the credit unions tend to be more lenient to own and lending money to its customers without a whole lot of restrictions on them. You know, they, not that they don't go through the same credit check, but there's some compassion there given into the consideration of giving out a loan where the banks don't do that, and especially African-Americans. There's no compassion. It's been recorded too many times that African-Americans with the same credit rating as the white folks or Caucasians, and they apply for a loan and get turned down every time, every time. It's been surveys done on that. There was a survey done at Howard by one of the Howard graduates on how the blacks were treated with the criminal codes, the different laws, violations, the 10 felonies that exist there that you could be charged for. And they saw same thing happen, blacks, whites, same record, no, nothing ever happened, they never been in any trouble, they break the law, the white guy gets probation, the black guy gets incarcerated. And I mean, it's been unanimous. They found out state by state all over. So when we know things like that, we shouldn't be arguing and fussing about something like that. Those are the times we pull together. There's only one thing that these white folks understand, and that is their pocketbooks. That's where the greed is, in the pocketbooks. That's why it is imperative that we do business with one another, start putting together funds and going into business together. You don't have to run the business. You can support a business, buy a business, put your funds into this business, support it. You see an African-American struggling, the paperwork, is everything is in order, help launch that business, whatever it may be. It could be a big business or it could be a small business. It could be some sister opening up a beauty parlor or a cosmetic line. One of the things that we like, and we see that it's grown to be bigger and getting bigger, and that is the Buy Black. The brother that set up the Buy Black, Sharif Muhammad, you know, he's grown and it's grown. And that's a site wherein you can go and buy products that African Americans are trying to enter into the market. So that's a good thing to look at. Buy Black, see what they got out there, see what's offered, what different people are offering. But we're telling you right here at the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, we offer you opportunity to talk to one another, to network with one another, to share ideas with one another. By coming on our show, our program, you can share your ideas. We're not asking you for anything other than we would like our listeners to become members of our program. Our program, it does cost money to run the program, to stay on the air and all that. And we're not asking much for your membership to join in and, ask, and you know, advertise your business, as well as going to our website and look at the businesses that are on there and the products and services that they offer. That's what we'd like you to do as far as giving us anything, if you give us anything back. And it's not a give. It's to support this. Support this effort, you know, showing that you care. And by being a member, you can come on anytime, and we'll always will be giving you be willing to give you moments on the show to advertise your product or say something about your product. We won't let you take the whole show over, of course, you know, because we have others that, but that we would enjoy that. That's a pleasure as well as other people. And also for our listeners, we have listeners that are all over the earth that listen to our program that are interested in studying what we do and how we do it, as well as applying some of those things to their sales back in the countries they're in, because one of the things we know for sure, if there's no movement, there's no action. And, you know, if there's no action, nobody's going to be doing anything. We don't have anything done. So that's why we come on and say this, because and support this show every week, is because we would like to see some action, some interaction in our communities, on the show, talking about business, putting them together, wherever you may be. But we're specifically focusing on right now getting and supporting businesses in our communities. And that's what I'd like to start out talking about, Brother Bilal. You know, and I know we know what's going on over in Israel. It's shameful. And we see that the rest of the world is joining together. And they're not supporting violence, but what they're saying is what Israel is doing, supposedly as a retaliatory thing, it's criminal, and it is savage. But they want to try to put it on the Hezbollah or the Hamas that they're the savages in that. But for 75 years, almost 76 years, the Palestinian people have been getting oppressed. It's a matter of a record. And what's more a matter of a record, what the hell happened to the country called Palestine? How in the hell did that go? The Palestine used to have a government. They used to have a capital. Jerusalem was a city wherein all of the religions could come, unhampered. Nobody messed with them, no violence. None of the religious places were being desecrated. It was a holy city. And these Zionists come in, and they were asked by the World Religious Council, NATO, and everybody else, not to take and make Jerusalem their capital. And those Zionists went against it, and they made Jerusalem the capital of Israel, back by the U.S. government. Go ahead on and do it. And at that time, that scoundrel, Donald Trump, was the president of this United States, something that should have never happened, because the majority of the citizens of America voted for Hillary Clinton, whether she was good or bad. That's where the majority of the votes were, the popular votes. That's another thing need to be changed in this country, fighting against the sizes, fighting against racism. Get rid of that damn thing they call Electoral College. The Electoral College is nothing but putting protection on the slave master. The slave master of African Americans as well as white folks. And the moment the white folks wake up and realize how they're being used and abused with that Electoral College, and that they never are able to choose the candidate they want, they'll change their mind and say, yeah, we got to do away with that thing. This is a country where if the people want a certain person, then that's the people's choice. But when we got scoundrels like the former president of this country, Donald Trump, who is a real discredit to humanity, not only America, to humanity, because he's a living example of a devil. He's been tried. So every day he's been in court, he's been caught in lies, and the people that were supporting him now are coming out and say, we lied. We lied about what we were going around spreading all over the world. But you see what's going to happen to these people. That's what we want to see, because we can't keep talking about this, African-American brothers and sisters, saying, well, you know what would have happened if it was us, what they would do. I'm tired of hearing that talk coming from our people. Well, you know if it was us. What are we going to do? we need to get together and stop talking about that crap. And how do we do something about it? It's not hard to understand how you're going to do something about it. We stop supporting things that are hurting us and start supporting things that's going to help us move forward. And what's going to help us move forward is stop sucking up and being a coward to these supremacists and stand up for what you know is right and support your own. When you don't support African-American people, it's just like not supporting your brother and your sister. We're talking about your blood brother and sister. A brother sent me a portrait a couple of days ago about America's relationship with Israel. It had a picture of Biden holding a baby in his lap. I mean, holding a baby in his arm. This little baby in his arm was sucking on a bottle. The bottle was red. And it had in there, written on the bottle, Palestinian blood. The President Biden was holding this little baby. The baby, on the baby's forehead, had written on that Netanyahu, and he was laying there sucking the bottle. And the bottle was Palestinian blood. And that said a lot to me when I saw that, caption. I said, wow, that's what America's doing. They sit up there and they support people that are being oppressed. They support oppressors, bloodshedders. We need to speak up against that, brothers and sisters. We need to speak out against that. We don't support violence on either side. But what can people do that you know are sitting out there in the middle of the desert? You done separated them from all of their homes and that. They're out there in the middle of the open in some tents and that. And you can't allow them to have water. You can't allow them to have anything. That's what we call evil. And we do not support that kind of behavior. Those people out there don't have nothing. You got everything. You got jets. You got tanks. You got artillery. The whole works. As Brother Bilal said, we were both combat veterans for the United States. We've been out there, put our life on the line. We were just blessed. We were blessed like a lot of the other veterans that came back whole, not with arms missing, legs missing, not blind, not, you know, just messed up, totally messed up in the head. We have our scars. We suffer from PTSD like a lot of others. But you don't get no Purple Heart for PTSD. That's something that they don't draw no blood out of you when you got PTSD. They draw another type of blood out of you. That just sucks you dry, man. You lose not confidence. You lose respect in the leaders of this country and the lies that they be telling us when you can see it. And you see that our people's they don't see nothing like this. But when you've been in combat and you've looked at death all around you, it just didn't get you. You come to a special awakening, a real special awakening, and you realize how valuable life is and how valuable life is here in America as an American citizen. We want to live and enjoy what we call American life. We want to have that justice that all the other Americans get. That's why we give so much to America. Us African Americans, we give everything and get very little back. Our fathers and grandfathers fought in wars for this country, and they didn't get none of the benefits back out of the military benefits that we have got today. But we fought for everything we got today. Mind you, the government don't give you nothing, and they have this cliche and this saying that I'm sick and tired of hearing because it's being programmed again, this stuff about thank you for your service. If you want to thank me for my service and all of the rest of the veterans here in America for their service, tell our government to stop holding back the benefits that we deserve. Stop discriminating against African Americans. Veterans. Our president that we have right now, Joe Biden, He came on earlier this year with the Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary, and the statement they made was that they know that the African-American veterans have been discriminated against over the years, have been singled out and not got their justice, and they were going to try to do something like that. We're talking about 2023. The president comes out with the Department of Veterans and say they know this. I was in the military in 1965. How in the hell did I know that? I know that, and they didn't. So it's a lot we got to do, and what I'm saying is the more we look at trying to do things together and not look down on one another, we're going to see the further we can advance. And that's what we're about here with our new Africa Black Belt Wall Street blog talk show, trying to encourage people in our community to work together for businesses, marketing, networking. And we hope that, and we pray that we can do that, accomplish that. And thank you, Brother Bilal. Hope I didn't take up a whole lot of time, but I'm really, really irritated what's going on right now with, you know, what's happening in the world, brother.
Well, I can certainly see that. You definitely made your expression. But I have to say, Brother Aziz, like I was saying in our opening, if there's one people on this earth that can recognize wrongness and racial discrimination, it's African Americans, because events that you just sort of went through, is just many of them as the reasons why we can do such recognition. But I have to say, though, you can see as African Americans, we have our story, but right now it's the Palestinians that are being blown to hell as we speak. That's who we're trying to put a stop to and hopefully save. And pointing out that Israel would not be doing this if the United States was condemning it and
that's
wasn't
right.
giving them the okay to kill these innocent human beings. So you have to ask yourself, where is your humanity? Where is the humanity? We ain't looking for it so much from the Israelis, but we certainly thought we could see it from the United States and the peoples of this country.
Yes,
they say they are going after Hamas, and they're blowing these folks and killing them every day by the thousands. But when the pictures are shown on the biased TV reporters, you don't see anything but little babies being taken out of the vehicles and rushed into the hospitals. I don't see any any of the soldiers that they call Hamas. I haven't seen not one of them being accounted for as far as one military fighting another military. We can only see where the innocent peoples are being bombed to kingdom come, and if they're not bombed, then they're trying to kill them by thirst, killing them by food, having nowhere to live, and of course not being able to operate the hospitals. because of the gasoline. So everything is just so inhumane. And to have the blessings of the country this country, the United States, and to see how biased the news media, the governments, our commercial facilities, both parties, the Democratic parties in the House and the Republican parties, all of them are saying it's okay. That's the sad thing that that is going on, and that's the sad thing that I find, and I know the entire world is finding to be unforgivable, because no one else in the entire world is supporting what Israel is doing other than Americans. And so it makes me wonder about the lies that they perpetrate in Israel. Are these the same lies that's been perpetrated to us that's going on in Ukraine? We just don't know. We just know what our government and everyone who's speaking for our government are white folks. So we said we was going to open our mics, and I am going to now, all of our mics are open. Brothers and sisters out there, our listening audience, if you can hear us speak, we can now hear you. So now we welcome your comments. Our mics are open, and we welcome anyone's comments. Our mics are open.
Hey, Brother Bilal, can you hear me, sir?
Very well. Go right ahead.
Okay. I want to first, you know, congratulate you and Brother Aziz for putting on this format. My name is Nadir Rashid, new to Delaware, actually. Been here now. Next month will be 2 years, but I spent 51 years in Birmingham, Alabama, is where I'm originally from. And
okay,
what I was going to ask is a couple of things, and I guess you can probably share them. Definitely want to know how to become a member, and I'm sure, I don't know if you guys will talk about that later or if it's something you will share with me after the show. But one of the things I was going to say about everything you guys have commented on, Black Wall Street is something that is dear to my heart. I actually went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, earlier this year to the museum. And myself and a couple of brothers here, we've been talking about, God willing, recreating Black Wall Street. And to know that you guys have been doing this for 8 years and talking about this on this type of format has me excited. One thing I was going to say is three steps I think need to happen. I'll start with the black community. number one, I think we have to have more accountable fathers. When I grew up, the neighborhood I grew up in, every house had a dad. And if my dad died, your dad acted like my dad. If my dad divorced my mom, Brother Aziz's dad or his uncle mentored me and acted like my dad. I think that is one of the first things that has to happen in our communities. You know, we always talk about what other people are doing and the racism, and it's always going to be there, but the racism was even stronger when the brothers and sisters had Black Wall Street. But because of them pooling their resources together, which is step number two, as Brother Aziz was talking about, we really need to come together as a people, just like all of these businesses that are in the black neighborhoods. If we no longer want them there, just stop buying things out of them, and eventually they will have to leave. I mean, if there's no revenue coming in, they will have to leave. And then the third thing I was going to say, the third step we need to do as a people, and they don't teach it in school, is we have to learn how to become producers more than consumers. The black race, we are the greatest consumers in the world, and unfortunately we are buying things that are not putting things into our pockets but taking things out of our pockets. And one thing I'll end with is saying this, as black people, and even our Caucasian brothers and sisters, we've always been taught how to work for money, but no one has ever taught us how to make money work for us. And what has to happen is we have to become better stewards in those areas and concentrate more on what you guys are trying to put together with Black Wall Street to make this place a better place. And last thing I'll say, with the conflict in Palestine, the unfortunate thing, my dear brothers, is from a Quranic standpoint, we are dealing with Bani Adam. Both sides are Bani Adam. They're relatives. In the human family, we are relatives. And unfortunately, many of us, we will favor one over the other based off of our own experiences, based off of whatever. But at the end of the day, Hamas, in my opinion, is never, no matter what good people think they have done, they have hurt more Muslims than Israelis. And so they are a bad group of guys. Mm-hmm. And to hurt innocent people, grandmothers and children and noncombatants and Islamically is not acceptable, and they call themselves Muslims. So my thing is, at the end of the day, as the Quran says and as the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, we have to want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves. At the end of the day, every group, whether you are talking about the Palestinians or the Israelis, they're Bani Adam. They're our brothers and sisters. So inshallah, my prayer is that humanity, from the United States to Muslim countries, will do what's right and hold people accountable, because what has unfortunately happened is when you constructively criticize these people who I call the so-called Jews, because then, as the brother Aziz said, they're not the original Jews. The Falashas, the Ethiopians and blacks are the original Jews. But
yeah,
my thing
yeah.
is that if you cannot be constructively criticized for wrong, and you're always called anti-Semitic if you constructively criticize their wrongdoings, and I think that's an amazing statement, because they're not the only Semitic people. So if they call you anti-Semitic, they're saying you don't like Arabs either, which is ridiculous. So, dear brothers, I'll let some other brothers and sisters make comments, but I just want to applaud you for what you're doing. I definitely want to become a member, and I'll just wait and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Our mics are open, brothers and sisters. We welcome your comments. Our mics are open.
Yeah, Brother Lyle, I want to thank Brother Rashid. Want to thank Brother Rashid for his comments on that. And also, he says from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm from Alabama, too. A place called Fairhope, Alabama, down on across on the eastern shore of Mobile Bay. And Brother Bilal, he has relations there in Birmingham, even though he's a Delaware and he married an Alabama sister.
Small world.
Yeah. So, you know, we have some, besides Al-Islam, we have some things in common, but most of all, we appreciate the what you're saying about the accountability of fathers and that. Back in the times where we were raised up, that's what African-American brothers and sisters did when one of the parents was missing and then you needed guidance and not to let you go astray and all that. But I found out that living in the country and living in the city back in the day and today is very different than people living out in the suburbs or out in the country. The relationships that people have with one another is very different. And the way you look at life and protecting yourself in the city is very different than living out in the suburbs or out in the country. So people come up in those different places. They have different understandings about how things or how life is. And I do believe a lot of times what Brother Rashid was talking about with the absentee parent or whatever, the father or the mother, that out there in the country, you had more of a tight family unit than in the hustle and bustle in the cities, even back then as today, because it was just a whole different lifestyle. And we did at that time, in those times, and I'm talking in a great segregated times. In those segregated times, we did pool a lot of our resources together, especially, you know, food, shelter, and clothing, and monies with the black insurance companies, you know, rising up and things like that, doing those things. And we most of the things that we had outside of our automobiles out in the country, we produced those things. We grew our own vegetables, we grew our own, raised our own meat, and all those type of things we did for ourselves. And once we became integrated, a lot of that we didn't do anymore. We produced less and less and less until we became a part of that big consumer machine. And yes, all of those things that you, Brother Rashid, brought up, yes, those are good things that we truly, truly need to focus on, especially number one about the fathers. It's so needed. Fathers, absentee fathers is really, really, really needed, because that's what really, really gives and helps young African-American girls and guys get a focus on some of the things they want to do and be a part of, because the dad will take you around to these places and tell you about ideas and things you have, give his opinion on them, and encourage you, you know, in the right direction, and try to keep you from going in the wrong direction. So thank you, brother, and for sharing that. And I just wanted to say that two-part, Brother Bilal.
Yes, and go ahead and give Brother Rashid the information as to where he can go on our web and look at the membership drive, and he can become a member whenever he wants to.
Well, okay, yes. Our email, Brother Rashid, is NADA. Yeah, actually, the website would be the best place to go to get all the information, and that would be written out all the way, Brother Rashid. That would be the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association .com. New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association .com. Or you can call us at either one of these numbers, brother Rashid. It's area code 301-234-9090 or area code 202-903-7278.
I got it.
Did you get that?
Got it.
All right.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, sir. I got you. I appreciate it. And I want to say to you both, thank you for your service, because you really took me back, Brother Aziz, I think when you said in the military 1965, and I was thinking, brother, that was 5 years before I was born. And I was just like, wow. I served in the United States Marine Corps, served in Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. But I was just blown away when you said the year you said. I'm listening to the youth in your voice and meeting Brother Bilal, the youth in his voice. And that generation, brother, you guys are a different breed. And I'm praying that my generation and the generations after me will take some of the wisdom and the strength and the hikmah that you guys have while you're still on this earth breathing, man, And once you guys do what you do and pass the baton, that we keep your legacy going. So, inshallah, I'm definitely going to get on that website and look
all
at everything
right.
and definitely become a member. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, I was going to say, Brother Rashid, one more other thing I was going to say, simplify to you. I also was a Marine.
Hoorah,
yeah,
simplify.
Yeah, boy, I was 1969, Vietnam, First Marine Division, 5th Marine, H&S Company. I was an armorer.
Wow.
And infantry weapons repairman, that's what they called it. But I was an armorer. Anyway, 81 millimeter mortars, 60 millimeters. You know, back in those days, we had the M16, M14, 60 caliber machine gun, you know, the M79 grenade launchers, 3.5 rocket launchers, the 45 pistols, 38s, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I can truly say, brother, even though I was an armorer in Vietnam, brother, everybody had to do their part, brother. I had to take out patrols. I had to run perimeter, sergeant of the guard and all that stuff, take out patrols as well as be an armorer. I mean, if a guy was working in the mess hall, he had to come up out of there and stand guard duty as well as go out on patrols with, you know, and it was quite something else, you know, And Brother Bilal, you know, he's a Vietnam veteran, too. As, you know, we both are. And that was quite an experience in our lives. So we do share a lot of things in common there, Brother Rashid. And,
thank you for your service, brother. Hey, thank you. My dad fought in Vietnam. So, like I said, in listening to you talk about that, I mean, like you say, we do have a lot of common threads. We have a lot of common threads. And looking forward to learning more and becoming more involved. So thank you both for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. Our mics are open, and we welcome your comments. All right. Then, Brother Aziz, the title of our show, Justice for All. You know, when we came up with the title, we wasn't really considering who was right and who was wrong, and we could speculate about many, many occurrences that has happened throughout the years, but coming up with this title, the reasons we came up with Justice for All is because when we start hearing all of these reports from the news media, and the news media were saying that Hamas had come over and they was cutting out the ladies, the babies from the ladies' bellies, was beheaded.
Yeah.
Babies and was doing all kinds of terrible things that was being reported. And I'm saying this is the news media. You see, when you a news media, as far as I am concerned, if they give a report on the news, then they have confirmation of these things before it is reported, only to come around and after reporting this and bring about excitement from everyone and that's what I'm saying, stirring up all of this hate in this country, and especially the Caucasians. They then come back and say our reports was wrong. They wasn't right. Well, they never looked into it. They never investigated. They never give justice to where justice should have been given. And so how we came up with our title, is because then the United States sends in all of this heavy military equipment, carriers and airplanes, in addition to all the airplanes that Israel already have. Now, remember, the Palestinians, I don't care whether it's in Gaza or whether it's in the West Bank, they don't have nothing to fight with but stones. They have to pick up a rock. That's the only thing they can fight with, is a rock off the ground. No other weapon whatsoever does millions of Palestinians have to fight back with, and they're going up against tanks. They're going up against airplanes. They're going up against gunships, the helicopters. And I can't tell you how many all the different weapons that you just heard Aziz just mention, because he was an armor that the Israeli army has. But all of these Palestinians have is a rock. And it's the truth that I expected to hear from America. I didn't expect to hear that unconditionally we're on one side and it's okay to kill the other side. This is as an American, as a taxpayer. This is not the way I want my taxes spent, because remember, as African Americans who have been through racial discrimination, we spend trillions of dollars in taxations every year. And that huge amount of taxation of monies that we're spending, we don't have any say. Nobody asked us. Our opinion was never given. And that's not only in Israel, but also in Ukraine. But to say that we're going to pull in, because I'm saying Israelis got all the power in the world. They don't need our airplanes. They don't need our additional aircraft carriers for bringing in all types of power. They don't need it because, again, they're fighting people who only have rocks to fight with. So why are we bringing in and reassuring these European Jews, but at the same time, no consideration for the Palestinians? As an American, I strongly oppose this, and I am totally against the man I voted in as president. And I say I, but, and I'm not saying I speak for everyone, all the listeners of our program. I can only give my opinion. This is why it was an open mic tonight. So anyone who was having any feelings about this one way or the other, you have a way of expressing yourself, because remember, we as African Americans don't have no way of expressing ourselves. No one has to ask us, because there is no way I can tell my brother in Alabama what's going on, and my brother in Alabama can tell the brothers in New York. And because, again, we don't have those channels of communications. We don't have any news media. We don't have any newspapers. We don't have any way of communicating with each other. So, therefore, we can be taken for granted. And so, again, we do have the New Africa Black Belt blog radio, and we know that that's reaching our brothers and sisters. I can look on my call-in box, and I can see different area codes.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Look, I know what you
well,
get.
Come on.
I know what you get.
All right.
So put us all on blast. Good evening, everyone. Let me tell you something. You know, this, like the brother had said a while ago, I really appreciate what you brothers are doing because you are an outlet, a voice box, a place where the people can come. And, you know, we can do a lot of talking, but it's time for us to start taking some action. And one of the things that they're talking about, you know, you were speaking about Biden and being, you know, Delawarean and look at what he has done in terms of putting Delaware on the map. There's more people probably than ever who has visited our state just because of him being the president. But because, excuse me, because we continue to be placed on the back burner and putting us on simmer, you know, like the warm heating. Many, many, many African-American people are coming up with no reparations, no vote. So, you know, because, yes, what they're doing is very wrong. What they allow is wrong. You know, Brother Bilal, I think it was you a while ago, had said in terms of when they invited, no one came to us. Now, they do surveys, and they take surveys, and they have ways of getting popular opinions and things of this nature. But no one came to our community specifically to say, how do you feel about this happening? They don't feel as though they have to. But see, we can make a difference in all of that. Because one thing about it, African Americans, we moved a Democratic vote. Now, I don't know what we may do for the rest, but we can make some headaches. And we're down to saying no reparations, no vote, because we're tired of being just basically disrespected, overlooked, discounted, because they don't feel that they have to share anything with us. We're just included. We are chattel, and we are thrown in as a token or a tip. It's hope for us. We're thinking about putting together community theater shows, looking at the where they're talking about reclaiming the throne. It's a series coming on, like on YouTube. People are watching. People are learning. We have to learn however we can. They're even trying to change up the books on us. We haven't been in the history book long enough to be taken out of it. But I tell you one thing, if you brothers and sisters are watching anything again on YouTube and it's in the social media channels, I'm learning more about black history by accident than I learned on purpose. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to keep hope alive. But at the same time, I don't understand, back to what you were saying earlier about Palestine and over there with the brothers and sisters. You know, the Palestinians, they don't deserve what they're receiving. You know, back when Jimmy Carter, I guess they figured that we've all aged out and forgot about it and passed away and lost our little dementia and things of this nature. But there are a few of us still around who remembers when Menachem Begin and Yasser Arafat, Anwar Sadat, and Jimmy Carter all met to discuss Gaza Strip and how they made treaties. But they do, they just like a while ago we were talking about the Native American, it is so parallel. Because they make treaties and they break treaties. And what do you do after that? Got the re-treaty. people don't know. Don't play with the folks' lives like that. They said that the Gaza was not going to be touched. Now they're marching the poor people further and further and further back. So what do they want to do to them? Like they did the people over there in Australia? March them off the sides of mountains and just let them float in the air so they hit bottom? I mean, exactly where do they want the people to go? Thank you, brothers and sisters. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. And brothers and sisters, our mics are still open, so we are still welcoming your opinion. But, this is what we must, we can't be silent anymore. We know, as African Americans, we know too much. And it's time now that we come forward with our voice. Because, down to it, here, we are the Palestinians here in America. Here in America, we are the Palestinians. And what's there to say if we are silent and white folks see, well, black folks took it. They didn't say anything. That means now that what makes you think that the same thing couldn't happen to here in the United States? It is no time for African Americans to be silent. We know too much, and we have to express it because just like that sister said, the history of the Palestinian peoples and what's been going on and the tricks Israel has been putting on these folks, it's been going on for the longest time. And the reason Israel is so pissed off right now is because for the first time in the 56 years that she's been giving those folks hell, for the first time in the history of Israel, they got hit. This was the first time Israel has ever been hit, and the Palestinians walked away, let's say, with the ones who say, I won this round. But all the other hundreds and thousands, and I can't say how many events, Israel, for the last 56 years, have been the ones who have saying, not only saying I won the rounds, but I started the rounds. But this time, for the first time, Hamas. And ever since then, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Hamas is this. They kill women. I mean, all types of stuff is being said. But the only ones that are speaking and saying this is the Israelis, the European Israelis, and the United States is going along with whatever they say. But the rest of the world, you see, this is what I look, the rest of the world not only are all over the Middle East, but many parts of Europe, all of them are condoning, are saying what they know has got to be the truth, because there is no way all the peoples cannot be wrong. Abe Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. And that's an example of what I mean. The entire world is saying, no, 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 Israel. Your hands has been dirty for a long time, and now these folks come in, and like I said, nobody want to see no one killing each other. Peace. And I can tell you, no one can say they want peace anymore then Brother Aziz and the Brother Rashid, his father, because we've been in combat. We know what the we know when those bombs are dropped on those folks in Palestine. We know what it's like. We've had those bombs dropped on us, and after the bombing is all over with, some of us are still alive, and some of us who was just talking to you just before the bombing started are dead. Could happen in an instance just like that. So when you see airplanes and these bombs they got nowadays are much more powerful. They're much more powerful, more sophisticated than the ones that we had to go through. And to have these innocent peoples, and you can see who are the victims of this slaughter. All you got to do is see tomorrow, just cut the TV on and you're going to see women and kids being taken out of cars. You ain't going to see any Hamas soldiers. I ain't seen the first Hamas soldier yet being treated for nothing. So how is it that you can, and see, this is why I am so hurt and disappointed, being a war veteran and seeing this type of white supremacy going on. This is what, you see, we haven't forgotten Martin Luther King. When Martin Luther King was assassinated, we was going through heavy battles in Vietnam.
Yep, that's right.
Heavy battles when Martin Luther King was assassinated. And yes, the white, and that it almost turned into a race war in Vietnam. And some did get killed from anger.
Yep.
But
that's what happened, bro, from anger.
Our black commanders, our black commanders was able to come and keep us all operating as Americans because they didn't lie to us. They didn't lie to us. They told us. They told us what happened with Martin Luther King, and they let us know that it was white supremacists that killed them. But at the same time, what did Ho Chi Minh tell us during that time? Ho Chi Minh told black soldiers all over that country, said, "Look, come and fight with us. Martin Luther King has been killed, and Martin Luther King is one of us." And he invited us to turn our weapons on the white soldiers and share in dual citizenship with them. In other words, live in Vietnam. But our families was here in America. Our roots was here in America. Our homes was here in America. We are Americans. So we
Brother Bilal.
Even though we had much hate at that time for anything that was white, but we didn't turn on each other. We kept.
Brother Bilal, let me inject
right
that while you're saying that. Remember Hanoi and Hannah?
Yes. I remember.
You remember Hanoi and Hannah? She was a spokesperson for Ho Chi Minh and them over the radio to us. Remember, she was, Hanoi and Hannah would come on in the afternoon. And anybody that's listening to this, you can go Google that up, Hanoi and Hannah. And they'll tell you she was a propagandist for North Vietnam, and she says, you know, y'all African-American soldiers, I don't know why y'all fighting over here in Vietnam against us.
Yep.
And we're not your enemy. Your enemy is back home. Why are you fighting for your enemy?
Yep.
You know, you fighting for your enemy, and when you go back home, he going to treat you like nothing.
How about it?
You're crazy. Yeah, so I wanted to interject that part in there, see? And those...
It needs to be interjected. We as African-Americans can't be silent about this thing because, again, we know too much because it has happened to us. Happened to us. The brother was mentioned in Tulsa, the Greenwood Business District.
Yeah.
The reasons 10,000 of our citizens, over 3,000 or 4,000 was murdered, and over 10,000 was homeless overnight. Why? Why they were asleep. And it happened only because white folks said that black folks forgot to be inferior to them. That's why they were killed, is because we live and we showed an example of what being rich and having a lots of monies and being totally independent of white folks, it showed how we would live. And our lives, if you want to look at royalty in this country, history says that is just about the first time that sophistication and style was actually presented in such a rich way, and white folks was totally jealous of it, and they killed us for it. So, again, we know too much. We've been through too much. So when it comes to investigating and going back to our title, Justice for All, and like we said in the beginning, and we'll continue to say, we know somewhat freedom, but we've never known justice. Never. And what do you have when you say I have freedom without justice? And now you can apply that to what's happening to the Palestinians, and not only the Palestinians, but many parts. Humility is that those folks, there is no justice. And
hey, gentlemen, FYI, I just want to let you guys know I went to try to get on the website, but it doesn't load. So
I can tell you, I know why. Brother, what you have to do, you have to go to New Africa Business Association .com, and that's New Africa Business Association, ASSOC, when you spell out association. So New Africa Business Association, ASSOC.com, URL, I'll put in D.C., either way. But New Africa Business Association, ASSOC.com, D.C., URL. And so what's happening is, IZ's had given you the correct one, but for some reasons we're having a problem with our ever since we bought on Black Belt Wall Street, there are some corrections that we're paying for, but we're not getting what we're paying for. So our old website is still out there, and that original website is New Africa Business Association. New Africa Business, ASSOC, .com, D.C., URL. And I think you'll see where you can come on.
So now when you, after the .com, are you putting a slash and then putting the D.C.?
Yes.
Okay, so it's that forward slash after the .com, and you're saying D as in Delta, C as in Charlie, U as in Uniform, R as in Romeo, and L as in Lima?
Yeah, URL.
DCURL. Okay. Okay.
Now you don't have to. You can either put either one. You New Africa, ASSOC, .com, DC. You don't have to put the URL. Or if you don't want to put, you put the URL.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. So that one more time is New Africa Business. ASSOC.com/ I can do DC.
New Africa Business ASSOC.com slash URL, or you can just put DC. Because what's happening, you see, New Africa Business Association, Imam W.D. Muhammad started that in 2005, and they're located all over the country. You could put it in. And you might see Atlanta pops up. So in order to recognize D.C., you have to put in D.C., a URL.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Brother Belial.
Yes.
What about, I don't know if Brother Rashid had it, New Africa Business, and it's supposed to be, after New Africa Business, it's supposed to be ASSOC.
Yes.
Sir,
yes.
What I have is New Africa Business, ASSOC.com/DC.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Cool.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, sir.
Yes. So that's why
we have to double check and Belial that to make sure.
Yes. Oh, by all means. Well, I appreciate it, Brother Aziz. That's how we came up with our title this evening, Justice for All, because yes, go right ahead.
If you would allow me, I would like to read my paper on justice for the black man in America.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Justice in America for the black man will never be as long as we remain a part of the white system. In order for there to be justice, we will have to establish our own rules, regulations, and in general, our own form of government. We will have to become a country within a country. We will have to write our own constitution, establish our own Bill of Rights, and strive to enforce any law or amendment we introduce.
Mm-hmm.
Justice will never be for the black man in America as long as we are considered second class and have to strive to obtain even that level of citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
There is no justice in a country for a race that has to have organizations that enable them to survive and keep other races in check.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there are societies that practice hatred towards these people, how can there be justice? Inasmuch as we allow money and power to dominate our lives and cause us to betray one another, how can we expect justice?
Mm-hmm.
There will be no justice for the black man in America as long as we are our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
There will be no justice as long as we remain ignorant and choose to ignore the fact that we are living in an unjust society.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we strive to be carbon copies of a society that has never and will never accept us as equal, we cannot expect justice.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I infer it is time for soul searching. It is time for all mankind who look like us to make one last determination as to their priorities. If you want to continue to give your blood, sweat, and tears, literally speaking, your life for a country that has never continued and has continued to practice hatred, scorn, and humility, we have to become closer as one and strive to make ourselves heard. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you, Sister Wendy. And the thing about it is that our brothers and our sisters realize our struggles, and our brothers and our sisters are doing everything we can to fight. To give comfort to each other as far as our struggles. But it's a struggle that we have to go through, and it's a struggle that we're going through. And like I said, so we can recognize what's going on not only in Palestine, but many, many, many other parts of the world. But like I said, I have to wonder now about these two wars that the United States find itself spending so much monies in, and that is the Israelis and the Ukrainians. And ironically, Brother Aziz, both countries are ran by Zionists.
That's right. That's
Ukraine is ran by Zionists, even though most of the folks in Ukraine are Russians. It is the Zionists that is taking over power in Ukraine. And the same
Putin was upset about.
Is the same Zionists, and America is spending and supporting the Zionists from both countries. So I'm wondering just how justified these wars are, because America don't mind lying. And, of course, the news media lies right along with her. So, in the statement we just heard from our sister, it's just so true. We have some powerful things as African Americans that we must do, because this country is not going to realize justice, and there's no one else that is going to point the finger when it comes to injustice more than African Americans. I don't think your Orientals is going to do it. They're scared of white folks, scared of what might happen. The Hispanics ain't going to do it. The Native Americans certainly won't do it. But as African Americans, we can't be afraid. We must do it. So, brothers and sisters, our mics are still open. We got about 10 more minutes. We still welcome your comments. Okay.
Yeah, Brother Aziz. I just wanted to say, the title of our show, No Justice, No Peace. Well, for one thing, I keep going back, and I just want to let you know, you familiar with Bass Reeves? Bass Reeves was the original Lone Ranger. Well, the reason why we saw the Lone Ranger coming up as a kid was a white Lone Ranger, and that never had a clue. All of those stories and tales about this guy, the Lone Ranger, was really about a black man. The movie maker said that they couldn't let it be put out there that way because it would have never been accepted. So that's why they put a white man there as the Lone Ranger. and told about this exciting adventures and the gallantry and bravery that this guy did. Well, that guy that did all that just happened to be a black man named Bass Reeves. Well, brother, now there's a movie going to be coming out about him, and I don't know how they're going to fix it. You know, but there's supposed to be a movie coming out about him now, and I'm going to see if they're going to tell the whole truth about it because, you know, see, to hide that history and that and all that and say that if we'd have showed them that it was a black man. Now, this is part of our history that, again, is hidden. There's so much hidden about what we've done. You know, I know, we know, and America knows that the African-American people, in intellect, is what really built America. And the financial institution of this country was set up by who? So-called Jews, who have been in control of that since day one. They've always disguised themselves in order to do what has been wanting to be done when it comes to the financial institutions. They say in the Bible, what was the first thing? They need all these movies that talk about Jesus, peace and blessing be upon him. He goes into the synagogue and at a temple, and he starts turning over the money changers' tables. They're up there practicing doing financial transactions and all that right up in the house of worship and all that. So, again, these Zionists are not the same as the Hebrews, but I just wanted to say the Bass Reeves, that movie's coming out, and we want to keep a close watch on that. This is a story. All of this stuff that we've seen of the Lone Ranger was really about a black man and his upholding the law for the folks out in the West. And thank you, brother.
Okay. We still got a few moments. Our mics are still open. Anyone who wish to make any comments, our mics are still open. We still welcome your comments. All right, brothers and sisters, I'd like to take the last few moments and bring up getting back to business. Like I said, we got away from business this evening because we wanted to speak on the program we just spoke on. We knew we couldn't be silenced about what's going on in the Middle East. We had to voice our opinions on it. But getting back to business, I want to make some announcements here, and that is that the Department of Commerce is having a faith-based and neighborhood partnership convention. And this convention, they're inviting National American Muslims leaders to come to the Department of Commerce, and that's here in Washington, D.C., Tuesday, November the 14th, starting at, it'll be an all-day event, and they will be talking about empowering the African American business Muslims faith-based communities. They will be talking about network marketing and impacting our community by facilitating grants and other federal procurements and opportunities. And so this is going to be an invitation and from the Department of Commerce, and they're sending this invitation out to all African Americans, but they're asking, but they're the facilitators. They're asking to be National American Muslim leaders. So they recognize our association as being one of those leaders. And we have been invited, and I was informed just today that we can have 10 representatives, business representatives, at this meeting. So anyone who wished to be in Washington, D.C. on, again, November the 14th, that's the Department of Commerce, 1401 Constitution Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. You would have to register through the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. You can do that by sending me the name of your business, and you would send that information to our email, nabassc@gmail.com. And you would send me your name, the name of your business, and your email and telephone number. And I will get you registered to attend the meeting, and I know myself and Brother Aziz will be the host for our association. So, again, anyone who wishes to attend, and this is an invitation directly from the federal government, the United States Department of Commerce, and they're inviting us to come to a meeting that would empower African-American Muslims' business faith community. And so, again, anyone who wishes to attend, of course, send an email to nabassc@gmail.com, along with the name of your business, your email, and the business telephone number, and we will get you registered. So, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, we thank you for being in attendance, and we're going to close with a song by America the Beautiful by Ray Charles. Good evening.
Amber waves of rain. a purple mountain majesties. Now, wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know,